da-da-da-da-da-da. From Chris and Andy's world, I present The Blue Baggers, a show dedicated to the Carlton Football Club, the old dark navy blues, the Blue Boys. So strap in, crack a tinny, relax, dally-ho, gents.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of The Blue Baggers. I'm Chris and I have Andy here with me.
G'day Chris, how are you mate?
Oh, I'm not going too bad. How are you doing mate?
Very good, very good.
Well, do you want to start the show off?
I thought you were.
Yeah, I did the intro. You start the show.
All right, well, I think we need to talk about a few things that's obviously happened since our last podcast, which was about 3 weeks ago now. The big one that's come out in that time has been the fixture for the 2020 season for Carlton. How do you find it?
Yeah, look, It's interesting, isn't it? And look, just to let the viewers know, we're going to do a bit of a recap for the first part of this episode. And the second part of the episode, what are we doing?
We're going to start compiling the top 22 cult AFL players, primarily focusing, just because of our age, on your kind of your 90s, 2000s players. So a cult player could be not necessarily the best 22, but a player that stands out, whether it be for their hairstyle or a bit of a cult following that the players have had over Carlton's long history.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So talent's not the big one there, but obviously they've had to have had enough talent to play enough games to be recognised.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that'll be a bit of fun. That's hopefully something that we can continue doing over the next few podcasts when we get a little bit of input from the listeners.
Yeah, we'll be relying on the listeners for that one.
Because we'd ideally like to finalise a 22, like a team
that's
of the century,
but Colt, yeah. So we want some interaction with that though, don't we?
We do, and I think today we'll focus just on the forward line. So we'll do read out a list of players, and we'll go through them, and then in the coming weeks we'll finalise that down to six. So it'll just be the forwards.
Yeah, and we'll set the scene, see how we go. So anyway, getting back to the fixture.
Yeah, so what do you think? Is it a good fixture? Is it an easy fixture?
What's a good fixture? What's not? It's a tricky one. I think the club are reasonably happy. Supporters maybe not so much, but there's a few elements that go into it, aren't there? There's the commercial element in terms of growing membership exposure, media exposure, and there's also sort of the difficulty of the draw. We won't call it a draw, but the fixture.
The fixture. So we get two Thursday games, and they happen pretty early
in the season.
Round one and three, obviously the opening game against the Tigers, and round three against Essendon. So then on, it's
slim pickings in terms of the games with exposure. We've got three Saturday night games.
Yeah, I think against North, Saints, and GWS.
Yes, I think that's the one.
So that's it. And then it's pretty much your 3:20, 4:35 Sundays and Saturdays. So it's not great for you kind of prime time, but let's be honest, we don't probably deserve.
And I think that's the sort of the hard reality, isn't it? That we don't deserve some of those marquee matchups, games.
No.
You know, hopefully they'll come in the following years.
Yeah, I always like to see us play some of the more traditional rivals at least a couple of times. I think we've got Richmond twice this year, but we only play Collingwood.
That's the only one, you're right.
No Collingwood, no Essendon twice, which I find, you know, you're always going to get kind of irrespective of how the teams are travelling. You're always going to, and we saw with Carlton supporters last year, we had a record number of members when it wasn't
those last
wasn't
seven
the best,
games of the year. Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't the best rocking year. So you're always, as from an AFL standpoint, I don't know why you wouldn't. They're blockbuster games. They always are going to be. You're never going to get a small crowd between Essendon and Carlton, or Essendon and Tigers, or Essendon and Collingwood, regardless of how the teams are travelling. And I think next year is going to be a lot closer than what it has been in previous years.
Well, I guess you look at that and go, you know, it would appear that the AFL just hasn't backed us in. They've chosen other games and don't believe we'll rise and get those numbers. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But
so who do we play twice then?
Yeah, so you've got the list in front of you there.
Got the Dogs twice.
Yep.
We've mentioned Richmond twice.
Yep.
We have Sydney twice, St Kilda twice, North twice. And I look at that part as being how hard the draw or the fixture actually is as the teams you play twice. And what do you make of that list?
Well, I think it's pretty good. I mean, Richmond's obviously a tough one, but the rest I think are, you know, about there with us.
I think the Dogs will grow. I think they'll be a different proposition, or they'll be harder than what we faced this year. So
yes,
I'm sort of a bit worried about that one. Sydney, who knows? They're traditionally always good though.
Yep.
Down season last year. St Kilda, once again, who knows? They went pretty hard in the off season with their recruits, so we probably won't recognise the team.
And I mean, There's no real bad team anymore, is there?
No, I guess that's the point, isn't it, too? And you know, we're judging this based on performances this year in 2019. 2020 will throw up some surprises and we'll look back and go, well, we actually had an easier draw or a harder draw than we thought based on performances there.
I think it'll be a really good measuring stick, though, those teams we're playing, probably minus Richmond, but in terms of if we can beat teams, like two out of two, teams like St Kilda and North and Bulldogs, who we've always kind of had that, you know, it's a bit of a flip of the coin, so that'll really show how well we've progressed next year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the first five games will have a fair idea of how we're travelling. We've got Richmond, Bulldogs, Essendon, Sydney and Hawthorn.
So what would you ideally, I mean, ideally we'd like to be 5-0, but would you be happy with a 2-3?
I think you want to come away with at least a 2-3. 3-2 would be amazing. Yep. 1-4, well, you know, it's not season over exactly, but 0-5 like we did this year and, well.
Do you like us playing Richmond round one?
Yeah, I do, of course, yeah. Because you know why? We don't have any other blockbuster games. Yeah. And that is a marquee game for us. And, you know, 90,000, there won't be a spare seat in the stadium this year. I know you're not so happy about the fact that, you know, we're playing strong opposition, but...
Well, I just think that I mean, they've obviously been the best team for the last few years. And we haven't disgraced ourselves against them. But I just wonder if, you know... we lose the opening game and what it does to our confidence. And we've seen that the last few years we've just started so poorly. I mean, we didn't get a win till round six,
Yeah, something like that.
So I don't know. I wonder if you play those teams and, you know, they're the teams that you want to be competing against because they're the best teams in the comp. But I wonder if we play a couple of those hard games and we kind of, just because it's a young list and thing, hopefully we'll be able to take it a bit easier this year.
Yeah, well, for the last 3 and 4 years, that's certainly been a challenging game. That one before that, it was a bit different, but they have probably been the premier team over that period. So it is a hard way to start the year. But
it is, yeah.
I guess one thing in our favour for 2020 is the fact that they won the premiership and they'll probably be 6 weeks behind us in terms of conditioning and getting prepared for the season, and we should be fresher, had a longer summer, hopefully less injuries. And
we haven't disgraced. I mean, we nearly won a couple of years ago, wasn't it, when Kerno kicked out the bag? And
We seem to sort of have a little bit of a glimmer of hope in the game and then...
A really good quarter and then get done. So,
anyway. I think it'll be different this year, I think, because they're coming off the premiership.
So would you be happy with 2-3 after those first five games?
I'd take it. I wouldn't be happy necessarily, but I'd take it. 3-2, I'd be happy.
3-2, I'd be really happy. Yeah, I tend to agree. 2-3 would be, I mean, they're not bad teams we're playing there, but you really want to be 3-2.
And another thing about the fixture is the fact that our last seven games are in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's great.
So, I mean, if you put yourself somewhere in a position to make the eight, that's a handy way to, you know,
it
finish
is.
The season out.
Absolutely. So, not a lot of travel there.
But, you know, as we said, you know, if we're good enough, we'll win those games. If not, and, yeah, there aren't too many easy games. There are probably harder games, some of the hardest games against that top four, but then, you know, you can almost throw a blanket over the rest.
Yeah, it's good. We've got, like, West Coast over at the MCG. So, kind of those... kind of games where... Well,
you hope they're 50-50 now for us playing at home. Whereas the last couple of seasons we've gone there not expecting much, but...
No, exactly right.
Home ground advantage, developing list.
Especially against a really good interstate side like... I mean, West Coast are probably the best interstate side there is, as is GWS, and we're playing both those teams in Melbourne, I believe.
So. I think you're right, I think you're actually right, And look, I guess we're talking about home games... And, you know, we're from Melbourne, so we focus on that. But if we look at the away games we've got interstate, it's good the fact that, you know, blue supporters and blue baggers all over the country get a chance to see their club at home.
What states are they playing in?
So we're in New South Wales. I think we play Sydney in New South Wales. We've got Port Adelaide in Adelaide. Adelaide in Adelaide, so that's two for our South Australian supporters. We've got the Gold Coast, so Queensland sort of, then we've got Frio in Western Australia as well,
all
so they get
covered.
A game.
Yeah.
So that's pretty handy, you know. Sometimes we look at it.
And not playing Hawthorn down in Tassie, are we?
No, that's a big one too. Unfortunately for the Tasmanians, because there are a lot of Carlton supporting Tasmanians.
Yep. Stephen Silvani, there's obviously been a bit of movement or media reports in the last couple of weeks. What do you make of that?
It's very hard to get a gauge of it, really. The fact that
it's gone quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone quite in the last little bit, but there were rumblings and there have been rumblings, and it's never a good sign. They haven't been shot down, as far as I've seen, by anybody. So they're sort of there on the periphery. And not great for a club that's emerging. We've finally got some stability. But, yeah, look.
We've got the issues at club level, which just don't need at this point.
No, and it's probably not that unusual in a way, but the fact that it's come out in the media, you know, it probably happens at all clubs to some degree, but it doesn't make the media so. Whether it's more serious, whether there's been tip-offs, who knows exactly, but you know, you want some stability now.
So the alleged issue is that Soss, who is, was it?
Was kind of been left out in the cold.
Yeah.
Some potential recruiting.
And didn't agree with some of the recruiting that we were going towards. I think Brandon Ellis and Eddie Betts, I think while he did want Eddie Betts at Carlton, probably not as much as that we were chasing him. So it's always a bit of a concern when there's people on different pages.
Yeah, and I think the reports are that Dan Butler and Brandon Ellis both toured the club and Soss wasn't aware of that happening, which, if true, you'd expect your sort of list manager to be across that and involved in that process. And you know, the theory is that the CEO coming from Richmond had a personal connection and sort of did it himself, which you wouldn't want happening ordinarily, would you? You'd want your list manager and anyone else important to be involved in that.
So it'd be a shame to... I mean, Soss is... How would you rate his time at Carlton?
Oh, we can't rate it now. It appears to be good, but I think sort of in the 3 or 4 years' time, we'll be able to reflect and see exactly how it's gone. It's too early now, but I mean, I'm certainly supportive and optimistic about what he's done and the decisions he's made and the players he's brought in. So,
well, kind of leads us to our next player. Because we've said previously, we can't really judge how we've done in the trade period in 2019 until probably the PSD, the preseason draft, and to see if we get Jack Martin. So what's been the news with Jack Martin?
Yeah, well, it certainly looks like we'll be getting him. And the price has been put on his head, and that's been calculated with Jack's management and the Carlton hierarchy to figure out how we can get him through. And what do we got? Pick 3, don't we? So
yeah, so Melbourne or Gold Coast obviously have the picks before us.
So they're the
Gold
two.
Coast have indicated whether or not they're serious about it, but they've publicly come out to make a bit of a stance that they wouldn't hesitate in picking up Martin again if need be.
And I think we'd all be very, very surprised if they did that, even if they did have the money.
No,
the players' hearts,
they have to come out and probably say that, but whether or not what they say and what they do are probably totally different things. But we don't think Melbourne
have the money.
No.
So,
but he's the kind of player that they would need.
They would be after, especially for free, absolutely. So, look, I just hope that the numbers crunched are going to be enough. And, you know, the talk is that it's going to be, what, $3 million over 5 years?
Which would be...
heavily loaded the front 2 years,
yep.
Which would be, you know, close to $1 million each or either of those 2 years.
And what does it work out to be?
So, if you think about that, it's about $600,000 a season, if the reports are true, and over 5 years, I think that's probably fair value.
He's probably making similar to that now.
Yeah, look, I'd imagine.
It's not a huge jump, I don't believe.
And it's a player we've targeted because we've got a clear need for.
Absolutely.
So you generally pay a bit more overs to get them in, but you'd rather a player that you've targeted and want to pay a little bit more than get a bargain for someone you don't want. So I think $600,000 is fair. To be honest,
I think
in 5 years' time, $600,000 is not going to be worth what $600K
is. When the salary cap's increased.
At the moment, salary cap increases that way. So I think that's probably fair for a player who's played 97 games. Who's taken, I think it was a pre-selection in the draft. I think they got him before even having to go to the draft. Yeah. Either way, very, very high pick. And he's 24 years of age now.
Yeah, turning 25 in January next year, I believe. So he's played
outside
97 games for Gold Coast. There's no need for, progression for him. He should be ready to go.
Yeah, at that age, he should be ready to go.
He's a 100-game player who's 25 years old. I mean, you're in your sweet spot right there.
And we've had the discussions. It's exactly the type of player we need. We want some speed on the outside and through the midfield and a little bit of creativity and some skill, and he should bring that, provided his head's in the game and his heart's there.
And it'll be just great to see also Sam Doherty back, who's obviously come back from the States after his training in relation to his knee issue. So
I just get nervous every time his name's mentioned. I don't know what it is. I clench a little.
Let's be honest, he hasn't played a game for 2 years.
Yeah,
and it's been two separate knee injuries on two separate legs. So it's a real concern, but if he's playing his best footy, I mean, he's an all-Australian player and he just gives us a lot more, you know, I think now with the fact we've got Newman, we can potentially put him through the midfield. It just gives us a whole lot more dynamic kind of flexibility.
He's a gun, let's be honest. He's our best player, best player with Paddy Cripps. He was an all-Australian, and to have that happen, you just wish all the, you know, the best for him, and you just hope he gets through the whole summer without an incident and he's ready to go. And even still, those first few games, if he gets there, it would be nerve-wracking.
It certainly will be.
But it would be awesome to have him back. Really pumped about that.
We've got Fremantle on the 8th of March.
In the Marsh, the Randy Marsh Cup.
In the Randy Marsh Cup at 6:40 at Optus Oval, Princess Park.
I'm as excited for that as I am for round one against the Tigers.
I'm as well. It's so good to get back to Princess Park or Optus Oval or what's it, Icon Park now. It's just the best to be out in the outer, having a few beers.
Probably taking the day off the next day.
Yeah.
Off work the next day.
Might take 2 days off.
Yeah, 6:40 Sunday night.
Yep.
Just hope the weather is beautiful.
I really miss us playing it at Optus.
Hear the hits, get the supporters.
It was great.
Parochial crowd. It was awesome. Very excited to be going back there. So that...
Because we went a few years ago and we had a great day. I think they ran out of beer pretty quick, didn't they?
And the way you were drinking them, they did.
No. It was just a great day. So I don't think I've been and seen a game since the first AFLW game against Collingwood. So it'll be exciting to get back. And
any chance to get to Princes Park and watch football, top grade football. It's incredible.
Want a chance to win $1,000? Make sure you listen to the Blue Baggers podcast.
This is not written or endorsed by the Blue Baggers podcast. So, Andy, I couldn't help but notice that one of your favourite Carlton footballers of all time, Lockie Henderson, was delisted the other day by Geelong.
Yes, I did see that.
How are you feeling? Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay about it. Obviously, I think a lot of Carlton supporters, including myself, were pretty disappointed when and how he left Carlton. So to see that he's been delisted. How old would he be now?
I think he's about 30. I think he's 29, 30.
So he's still got a lot of football.
I'm a little surprised that they did, but surprised no one else is going to pick him up.
Do you think he will get picked up?
Well,
I think he's a good footballer, let's be honest, but he's had injuries and, you know, Cats aren't a bad team, so I'm sure there'd be other teams that'd be willing to pick him up.
Okay, Andy, I'm about to hit the honesty button on the computer.
Yep.
Can you please tell me what you really think? Just come on.
Oh, look.
Be honest.
I don't like how Lockie Henderson
treat
left the
club. Treat our listeners with respect.
I'm treating with respect. I don't like how Lockie Henderson left the club. I think it was, it was just the circumstances surrounding it. I didn't like it. So, is he my favourite player in the AFL? No, he's not.
Each time you watched him play, did you hope he got an injury or got through the game?
No, I'd never hope for an injury, but he's not my favourite player in the AFL. Put it that way. I can't be any more clear.
I think I might have to test that honesty button out a little bit.
Do you like Lockie Henderson? How everything was left?
I'm indifferent to it. Look, I don't like how he left, the circumstances around that, but I didn't hold too much ill feeling towards him. I think you might have held a bit more resentment than
I'm
not too upset that he's not playing.
I think we put a lot into Henderson and we obviously put up with a lot of... you know, probably poor football when he was developing and he was a young player. He turned into be quite a good player and found his niche in the back line.
He was a good player for us,
He was a really good player. So, look.
I'm not sure did he play a final? I'm not sure he won a final in Geelong. So, in a way, it's a bit of a sad ending that way.
It is, but I think he'll get picked up again. But like I said, you know, good luck to any player. But, I'm not too phased about it, but I think he'll get picked up. I think he'd be pretty crazy not to pick up a 30-year-old who has played... He's good football. He's pretty good.
Good luck, pal. Is that what you're thinking?
Sorry, good luck.
Good luck, pal. A bit condescending. Buddy, mate, fella.
Good luck. Good luck. Liam Stocker, he's re-signed.
Yeah, re-signed. What, he signed for another two, which I think gives him 3 years commitment to the club. So, very happy with that. Obviously, a player who came in and had his injuries in his first year and had a fair bit of pressure on him. As a result of some moves on draft night.
Yep.
But the games we saw, he showed exactly what...
He's got a bit of
A little bit of mongrel for
a bit of expect, like a bit of mongrel. First game, he just looks tough.
Yeah.
He looks ready to be playing AFL, and I think he's going to be quite a good player.
Looks like a confident player. Looks like someone who doesn't mind putting his head over it. Uses it well from what we saw. Just didn't get the opportunity with injuries. But, very excited that he's signed.
Do you think we lack a bit of mongrel?
Oh, I think we do. Yeah, absolutely. And I think generally that comes with a bit more age and experience.
I mean, obviously,
as well.
Cripps has got a fair bit.
Truckloads. The thing is, you can't pretend, though. You can't. Grow into it. I mean,
I think
as you get a bit older and you get a bit more confidence and a bit more, confidence about your body and
yeah, that's why I loved your players like your Jared Waite, who, just had that kind of, bit of mongrel about him. And I think it makes Carlton really have lacked that. I'm just trying to think who else.
Yeah, presents it. I mean, we've got courageous players.
Yeah, it's different to a Simpson, who is probably one of the most courageous players there is in the league, but someone who, really
fires a bit of
him. Someone like a Luke Hodge, or he's just got that
hard
real
to come by. But I know what you mean.
Not as a package of a player, but is just that real kind of bit antagonistic. That real.
You've rolled off a couple of good players.
I know I have, haven't I? Yeah, Lee Matthews.
I think we get your point though.
Yeah. Yeah. I've probably reeled off three all-time greats, but
someone a bit antagonistic, but puts his head over it, take the hit, and then get up and dish out a little bit as much as you can these days.
And I think Stock has shown that from his first game that he's got that, and that probably means it comes pretty naturally to him. And I think that's exactly what Carlton needs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, and very happy to have re-signed him, and hopefully, he has a big year.
Yeah, I think he might have a really big year, and obviously
get that tank right.
Yeah, so I was speaking to one of my other Carlton mates, and he thinks that he's got a similar tank to almost like what a Dusty Martin had, because Dustin Martin apparently had quite a small tank when he began his career, played more predominantly forward.
He was more explosive, absolutely.
Yeah, so do you think it's obviously something you can work on, but there are... there's a limitation to people's natural...
Yeah, there's some limitation. You'll probably never be the greatest gut runner there is, but you can work on that running and your aerobic fitness a lot easier than you can your anaerobic or your quick, short, bursts, your speed. So it's a work in motion, and having Andrew Russell there by the sounds.
And
there's
Ed Kerno.
Yeah, but no better people to be surrounded by in the business. So
yeah, expecting a big year from Stocker, but obviously keeping in mind that he is a second year player who had a injury interrupted 2019.
So unfortunately, we haven't been able to escape all controversy this off-season.
No, there's no such thing as off-season without controversy.
Yeah, so look, this the other day, getting fined... $10,000, was it by WADA or ASADA? I'm not sure. Either way, through the failure of players to be able to, locate players, Carlton players.
Well, they didn't really kind of anything I read or heard about it didn't really go into great specifics about it. But it seems like a couple of other clubs.
A couple of other clubs are involved, and if you think about it, I think one of the clubs is fined $2,500. Another club was fined $5,000. We were fined $10,000. So
does that mean it's $2,500 a person?
Well, you'd have to assume that, don't you? So four players, they might have all been in the same location. They might have been travelling with each other. But it just, look, it's not a big one. It's just one of those things you don't want the headline in the papers about.
Now, we've had enough controversy, and obviously with this stuff with Sauce in the off-season, we just want to...
Yeah, and you want to make sure your administration's doing the right thing and knows the whereabouts and acting on a professional level. So, not a big one, but just a little update anyway.
Yep. All right, Chris, so like we were saying before, I think it'd be a lot of fun if we did the Top 22 Carlton Colt.
Colt 22.
Colt 22.
Not the gun,
Colt 22. Like I said, this is not the best 22 players. It's not a team of the century. I think our kind of interpretation of a Colt, and we've been kind of debating it a little bit.
We've been looking forward to doing this show and shows like this one, but this one's been a bit tricky to try to figure out exactly what the Colt 22...
Colt isn't your best 22. It doesn't necessarily mean that they were a fantastic player, though a lot of these players have been. It's more of a something about the player that, you know, makes them synonymous with the Carlton Football Club, or, you know, whether it be something about their appearance or hairstyle or something like that that just makes them a cult figure at Carlton. So we've obviously gone away and come up with different lists. And, I mean, we've got to say that a lot of our list, you know, it's mainly around the 90s, which is the era that we grew up watching. It's fair to say. I know we're going to miss a lot of players.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, we've thrown in a few players from prior to our sort of era and us being alive, which we just know are the cult heroes, and we'll give the reasons why. But we are relying on you, the audience, and the listeners to also send through your suggestions. Let us know what we've got right, what we've got wrong, and who we've actually missed. So you can do that by sending that through, post on our wall, our Facebook wall at the Blue Baggers Podcast, or send us a message.
You can send us a private message, or you've got all the emails up on our Facebook page. But
we do want to hear from you, because we know we're going to miss a lot.
And so today, like I said before, we're only going to do the half-forward flank, or the half-forward line.
Forward line, really,
the forward line, yeah. So technically there are six spots up for grabs, and we've got about maybe, I don't know, 15 names that we're going to throw up.
And
just touch on them and why we think they're cult players. And then we'll finalise that in coming episodes after we get a bit more input from you guys.
Yeah, so we'll run the next episode. We'll do the same thing, but hopefully we'll move through the midfield, the centre line, and the back line with the followers as well. And then
don't forget the interchange.
And the interchange and coach.
And coach.
And president. Oh, I think we've got president stitched up already, don't we?
Yeah, we've got president.
But we'll keep that one quiet. But we'll do the whole team and support staff there. But it'll be tough squeezing them all into a 22. And that's where the real fun will be had, I think.
I think, and a lot of these players we're going to throw up today, you know, you could argue their position to a degree. But so they might be, you know, some of these players might be able to fit in maybe in the midfield or even maybe a couple in the back line. But we'll go through the list anyway.
Yeah, and it'll all be determined with that final 22.
So I've got my first one, Chris. I don't think you ought to disagree.
In no particular order.
No particular order. I don't think you can get past a cult player of the Carlton Football Club. How do you go past Alex Jezelenko, Jezza?
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you.
Played 256 games for Carlton. Obviously, he was a captain, coach, played in three premierships, coached 79, and the 1970 mark of the century against Collingwood in the grand final.
And I think that's where we're leading to that cult hero status.
Yeah.
Mark of the century.
Just even the name Jezza.
Jezza. Everybody knows Jezza. It doesn't matter how old you are, what team you've gone for.
And he was born in Austria.
Jezzalenko, yo beauty!
Yep, that's not a bad rendition. He was born in Austria to a Russian mum and I believe a Ukrainian,
either way, Ukrainian parent and a Russian parent.
And didn't start playing football until he's 14 years old and just became, obviously...
That's incredible.
One of the best players at Carlton, but that's not why he's on the list. He's on the list because he's a cult figure at Optus Oval and down at the Carlton Football Club. Chris, have you got anyone you want to throw in for your first?
I'm going to throw one back at you.
I'm going to go double.
VC.
VC. It can't be anyone other than Vinny Cattugio. He is a cult player. Little forward pocket and probably known, obviously, for what, Chris?
The greatest hair the Carlton Football Club has ever seen.
We've seen a lot of hairstyles at Carlton.
Can that be debated?
It can't be debated. No one had a better hairstyle, the fro of Vinny Cattugio.
You know, we might touch on him in another episode. Tommy Elvin, that sort of... character comes
Mil
close.
Hannah.
Well, yeah. But you think of best hair, Carlton.
That's it. Grew up around the corner from Optus Oval. Obviously played 71 games for Carlton, kicked 97 goals. Unfortunately, went to Melbourne.
Not important.
No.
No, we won't discuss that.
But what a player. And got it on good authority that he was possibly one of the quickest players that's ever played at the Carlton Football Club. A real live wire kind of player. And he's, if you've got time to watch his highlights on YouTube, it's really something to enjoy and watch. And I've been lucky enough to meet the great man.
Good man.
Absolute gentleman. Yep, absolute gentleman.
Greatest hair on the Carlton scene.
And the hair's still great. The hair is still great.
Describe it for those who might not have. I mean, we've been sleeping under a rock.
It was a luscious head of black curly hair.
Beautiful.
absolutely beautiful. Which leads us into another player who kind of a bit more my time, probably yours as well, who had a nice lock of hair. Bradley Pierce. Porno Pierce. How good was Brad Pierce?
Incredible.
He played only, I think, he played under 100
games.
Doesn't
matter.
It's really weird because he was so good in 95, wasn't he?
Yeah, it seems strange because he was a mainstay in that forward line.
Loved seeing him. He kicked 52 goals in the premiership year, but he really faded away, didn't he? But he's always going to be known for his... He was just a beautiful...
He was a good-looking man, wasn't he?
Good-looking man.
Did the ladies like him?
I reckon the ladies loved him. I reckon the ladies
reckon
really
did
liked
all right?
him. I think he did all right.
He loved his music too. Pretty sure he owned the hi-fi bar.
Did he
for
really?
For quite a time, yeah. And I can't remember. He might have even been with Matty Richardson or...
I think he lived with Matty Richardson.
Yeah, either way, I'm almost certain he was a co-owner of the hi-fi bar and is a really into
music. I remember
music.
Seeing years and years ago, a picture in the Herald Sun. It had Brad Pierce sitting down at a table and Matthew Richardson behind him holding a fry pan like he was about to hit him over the head. And it was that they lived together.
Sounds like a great article.
Yeah. I wish I could find that. But Brad Pierce, he's a cult player. He had the beautiful ponytail.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? Straight.
Yeah. But he just kind of faded out, didn't he? I think he suffered a fair few injuries and just never kind of got that form back from 95. But how good was he? Chris, have you got any names for me?
Yeah, I'm going to jump right in and give you Wayne Johnson.
Dominator.
The Dominator. I could probably just end it there.
Yeah.
Dominator.
If your name,
do I need to explain anything else?
Is there a better nickname in any capacity?
In any sport, it doesn't matter.
Any capacity. The Dominator.
The Dominator.
It's not bad.
Incredible, huh?
It is unbelievable.
Dominated finals.
I've been lucky enough to see a few of his games, particularly like in the 70s in the grand finals. And geez, he was a hard man.
Yeah, he was
dished
a hard
out a few,
He was made for finals football, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he just obviously one of the, especially that era, I believe, like the Dominator.
Yeah.
Not too many names go past him.
You play in a lot of finals and you dominate a lot of finals.
I don't know if I'm happy with him as a forward, more a midfielder,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, yeah. That's, and there's going to be a few of those on this
yeah,
list.
Yeah, I think the next player we're going to mention could kind of go midfield or...
He was everywhere.
He's more of a midfielder, but you've got him in the forward line, but I know that there's obviously room to go, but who have you got next?
Yeah, well, look, he probably could have been in the midfield where he played later in his career after he hurt his knee. He played down back, he played on the wing, he played in the forward line. It's the Greek Adonis, Anthony Koutafidis.
Kouda. The Greek Adonis, yep. He
dominated... Speaking about the Dominator, he dominated the 1999 final against Essendon.
And anyone who dominated in that game, you've got automatic cult status.
Absolutely. The greatest game I've been to, the greatest game I've seen.
Yep.
And he absolutely towed Essendon up.
And just, I think he was half Greek, half Italian.
I think that's correct, yes.
Doesn't get more Carlton than
that's
that.
That's Carlton, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's so almost Carlton. Like the first player... Of that real athletic.
He was the first real athlete.
Yeah.
Real athlete that football was secondary, athleticism was first. He was built.
And what's more iconic than picking the ball up with the one hand?
Yeah. Yeah, we hadn't seen it before and synonymous with him. Just what a chiseled body.
Take it easy. Jesus. Oh, really?
You disagree?
Oh, yeah, but I don't know if we necessarily need to go into that.
Cult status. That's getting him in there.
What, his rock hard abs?
Yes.
Or cult status.
Beautiful pecs.
I think you need to take it easy.
Buns.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Hey, just remember, he was on Gladiator.
Yeah.
And the reference was that he was touched by the gods. Cool. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, touched by the gods. By the gods. What was his name on Gladiators?
Kuda. I don't know.
How would he go on? He's too nice. Like, he's a pretty nice guy. I don't think he'd...
Yeah.
I don't know how he'd go on.
A real mongrel, but I do remember watching him there.
On Gladiators?
Yeah. You don't recall?
No, I don't.
Oh, you know, they had the sticks out and you had to block people.
Yeah, no, I remember the show. I don't remember Kuda being on it, though.
Yeah, no, I certainly remember.
All right, Chris, can you give me any other names that you think might be able to fit into the forward line of the Colt 22?
Yeah, I'm going to look at a full forward, and full forward is probably all he was. Didn't push too hard up the ground, didn't chase, didn't tackle. A traditional full forward, possibly about 5 or 10 years later than when It was far more acceptable to play the way he did.
Not Digby Morrell.
Not Digby Morrell. The Fevolution. Fevolenko. Brendan Favola.
Yeah. Jeez. He's cult.
Personality.
Yep.
Lots of personality.
Whoa, I don't
good
know.
Good and bad.
Can anyone go full forward other than Fev?
I'm not sure. Not this stage, I wouldn't have thought, but happy to hear contrary.
He's cult for so many reasons.
There's a whole lot of reasons. We don't have enough time to go into every
one
of those.
But obviously, some of the goals he kicked, you know, particularly the one against Adelaide, the one where it kind of bent the way it shouldn't have to give us the win. He did some things off the field that were...
Interesting,
but he
drew attention to himself.
It was never a dull moment with Fev.
Enigmatic.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a shame that... Yep, he could have been a Carlton man the whole way through, but...
Wore the 25 on his back, the Jezelenko number,
yep.
And he was an absolute freak. And we know it's not about ability, but if we're talking about Colton,
oh.
We might touch on one or two other players that are similar, but just freak goals, and he was someone you went to watch at the football.
Actually, when you talk about freak goals, my next one is very similar.
Well, go with it.
He's returned. Eddie Betts.
The Messiah returned.
That guy, I mean, again, it's not about ability or the goals, but, you know, do you get more cult than Eddie Betts in the forward pocket?
No, I don't think so. On and off the field, once again, a bit like Favola. He's going to be hard to squeeze out of the team, isn't he?
The guy's kicked that many goals of the year.
For 173 centimetre.
Yeah.
Pack marks.
Remember you and I went down a few years, like, it would have been years ago now when he was playing at Carlton, and it was a practice game at Optus Oval and he kicked a goal. It was one. I mean, if it was recorded and if that was in a game, it would have been goal of the year. And he kicked it and he just turned to the small group of Carlton supporters that were on in the pocket and just shrugged and started laughing. He couldn't believe it himself, and he's just a loved man at Carlton and awesome to have him back, and hopefully he can continue on that the cult status at Carlton.
Yeah, and look, once you've got a chant after your name,
yeah.
You're pretty much guaranteed to be on the cult list, the squad of the cult 22, aren't you?
Absolutely. Who else have you got, Chris? You got anyone else?
Well, a bit different to Eddie Betts.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite the same skill level.
Yep.
The Duke. Who am I talking about?
Earl Spalding,
the Duke.
Yep.
Almost a complete opposite to Eddie Betts. You could question...
He had some...
The talent? The skill?
Oh, he was pretty... I mean, he was a great mark. His kicking would sometimes
let him down a little bit.
Yep.
But he would just burst into games, and the impact he had, one of my favourite players to watch of all time, a little ungamely.
Yes.
And that sort of gets you an opportunity to be part of the
Colt 22
squad.
Oh, I could actually.
And a couple of big hits in his career.
Massive,
namely one,
yeah.
Guy McKenna in Perth, round 21, 1995. One of the biggest hits I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was...
you almost have to question sometimes the players like him, whether he meant it. It could have been an accident, but one of the most brutal hits on a football field, and you never knew what you were going to get. But
like the Duke on that list.
What a pickup.
I don't know if he's going to remain on this. I don't know if he's going to make the cut, but I like him. I like him as cold.
Yeah.
I like him as cold. Have you got anyone else?
Probably in a similar mould to the Duke. Our first real, and I'm assuming our first real Irish project.
Oh, geez, we've had a few.
Satanta O'Halpin.
Satanta.
Similar to the Duke, yeah?
Is he a forward?
Big body athletic.
Is he a forward?
He was a forward. He was a back. Was he a player?
he was all right, Satanta. Yeah. Although he did kick a few bags of goals.
Yeah,
he
definitely played forward for a fair while.
Oh, so he's cult because he's our first kind of Irish. He had a bit of mongrel. Didn't he? He had a bit
and,
of mongrel.
I was fortunate enough to actually be at the training session.
Do you think Cameron Cloke thinks he's... That Satanta's got some mongrel?
You reckon he's voting for him?
What do you mean you're at the training session?
The training session, the infamous incident.
Jeez.
When there might have been a kick to the rectum, delivered to the rectum.
Did he?
With Cameron Cloke?
So what?
And I just happened to be down. I don't even know why I was down there. And there was probably
what was
about
the practice match. Was it just training?
Yeah, it was just training, but it was like an intra-club training, you know, sort of the... 4 10-minute quarters.
Yep.
You're playing against each other, and they had a bit of niggle, the two of them. And this on the wing, in front of about 13 supporters.
Yeah.
Cameron Cloke sort of got into a wrestle, dropped him, and then Satanta sort of shoved him to the ground.
Yep. What did he punch him to the ground?
Well, it's kind of a punch push.
Yeah.
Tried to give him a couple. I think he was somewhat retained in his actions, and then delivered the foot,
yeah,
foot to the bum. Rectum.
He, you never knew what you were going to get with Satanta, did you? That's why I was, I guess like you can get him. I like him as a Colt. I don't know if he fits into the forward line. I suppose he does. But yeah, he didn't know what you were going to get with him.
And
he was kind of skillful, but not.
Yeah, yeah, he was definitely athletic. But I mean, picked up the game at a later age. Pretty hard thing to do when you're 202 centimeters.
Yeah.
Actually played basketball against him too.
Did you?
Yeah, only a couple of years ago. Not really.
No?
He was a better footballer than he
don't
was a basketballer.
Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that.
He was playing with his brother too.
Oh, really?
Isaki,
who never got a game at Carlton in the end.
But he was talked up at...
Yeah.
Are you going to ask who won?
I don't think we need to decide who's, you know, the winners or losers. Why?
Not them.
So you won.
Oh, I'm a humble man. I'm not going to go into that.
I'm going to throw up another player who's similar vintage. I don't know if he's going to be... I don't know. You tell me if he's cold. What about Matty Lappin?
He's cold for me.
Yeah, I think he's cold.
Skinny Lappin.
Skinny, tiny, you know, head.
Are we getting themes? If you've got a nickname separate to just a, yeah, you know, a shortening of your surname...
With an O or a Y. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You've got, you know...
Skinny Lappin. He was...
He was incredible.
He was, and he was... Some of the...
Never,
I mean,
put on weight. Never put on weight. He must have gone through, what, 12, 13...
He must have played a lot of games as well. Obviously came from St Kilda.
Never put on weight. I think he was probably drafted at 73 kilos.
Yeah.
And retired at 73 and just did not...
Never seemed to bother him, though.
No, it didn't matter. High flying, long kicking.
He was so... Matty Lappin was awesome. He'd have to be in that... he has
short sleeve jumper. Where do we put him as? Short sleeve or jumper?
Jumper.
Jumper.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be showing those arms either.
You reckon he makes the cut in that?
Geez, he's in the squad. He's there, you know, he's there to be in it.
So I'm thinking about that. Would you? You'd be a pocket player. I mean, you could put him on the half four, but you got Betts, you got Katodge.
Yeah, there's some competition.
Oh, yeah, this will be a bit harder to do. I've got another small forward who's from a different era. Mr. Champion Data himself, Teddy Hopkins.
Yeah.
So he. Kicked. Oh, he is Colt,
yeah,
because he won us. You know, he kicked four goals, in the second half against Collingwood in the 1970 Grand Final, which we ended up winning when we were down by quite a large deficit. Obviously, the famous Grand Final, Barassi coached handball at any cost. I think if you come off the bench and kick four goals in the second half,
a legitimate bench back then,
yeah, a legitimate bench where he had come off it, he hadn't
played.
Yeah, there wasn't 190 rotations.
Red vests.
Yeah, so he kicked four goals in a grand final that we beat Collingwood. Yeah. Automatic Colt.
Straight
Welcome to the Colt Club.
And he's been Colt for years.
He has. And he obviously famously kind of never played too many games after that, did he? Or never had the same kind of...
No, I don't think he played that many games.
No.
At all. So, no. Yeah, four goals and... Colt hero straight away, one game.
Actually, I'm going to.
All it takes.
Actually, I'm going to go on a similar kind of player in terms of automatic Colt selection. I don't know if you're going to agree with me here. Bloke we recruited, 26 years old. He was drafted, I think, pick 70 odd or something. I don't know. Before he was about to travel to Sudan.
I think I know where you're going with this one.
Nick Dygan.
Educated man.
Educated man, Nick Dygan. Drafted at 26 years old.
The psychologist.
So,
that's interesting enough on its own, but is there more to this?
2013, we played a final against Richmond, a final we didn't deserve to be there in terms of Essendon obviously being knocked out due to their ongoing issues with Asada. So we finished ninth. We play Richmond. Nick Dygan, who...
The back pocket?
The back pocket, who had only kicked six goals in his career, in his 42-game career.
Dale defender, hard at it, straight lines.
Pops up.
Not creative.
And kicks four goals. And we win by 32 points against Richmond in a final, an elimination final that we shouldn't have been playing. And we knock out one of our arch rivals.
Playing from centre-half forward.
Playing from centre forward.
Nick effing Dygan. And the rumour was that he'd been sitting on the floor, stuffing his face with Subway
so Brock
or a
McLean,
sandwich.
Brock McLean got injured.
He came in as a replacement, didn't he?
He came in because Brock McLean got injured in the warm-up, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was a real last minute. And Dygan never played again. I think he was going to play in that 2014 season. However, he decided to retire because of ongoing injury. So Nick Dygan has come up from...
26-year-old recruited from nowhere, really?
Yeah. Who
psychologist, yeah, studying.
Yep. Who then plays his final game in a completely foreign position to kick four goals. It's I think he's automatic cult status. Oh. I think he has to make the team.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yep.
He's going to be keeping out some names if that's the case.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
From centre half forward?
Yeah.
Is that where he's...
Dygan or Duke Spaulding at centre half forward?
It's a very interesting one.
Have you got anyone else?
And if we're speaking of centre half forwards, who stands out for you? Centre half forward, maybe full forward, but possibly...
In terms of cult, though?
Yeah, in terms of cult.
I don't know. Hit me up.
Former president, Stephen Styx Kernaghan.
Yeah.
Styx Kernaghan.
Yeah, is he too good to be... I mean, yeah, yeah. No, well, no, of course.
Hey,
yeah, we're throwing up Cooter.
Stand by your man.
Yeah, no,
you've
no.
Just
no.
You've just let him down. You didn't stand by your man.
No, Styx was my favourite player growing up. I had the number 4 on my back. Yep, Styx, of course.
Of course he does.
Of course he is.
Skulls of beer.
Yep.
Puts it on his head. Or throws it over his shoulder.
Through the empty glass.
Or it depends which occasion we're talking about.
Yeah.
Come on.
Styx. Again, that's a, you know, it's a great nickname.
Sure. You go, yeah. Nickname, tick. Premierships, tick. Colt says, off the field, demeanour.
Yeah. No, actually, as we said that Jezalenko is, I mean, how can you not put Styx there? 100%. Have to have Styx in.
So is Styx up against Dygan for that centre-half forward?
Styx would just knock out Dygan. Just.
So, yeah, very interesting. And speaking of kicking a lot of goals in an important game, or in the one game,
yeah.
Simon Beaumont. Now, whether he's a forward,
ooh,
debatable. But for his cult status,
yeah,
he kicked 8 goals in a half of football against Collingwood at the MCG.
Was it Collingwood?
Yeah, I'm certain it was Collingwood.
It wasn't a final.
No, it wasn't a final, so but it was in front of...
Don't compare Beaumont to Ted Hopkins or Nick Dygan.
You're 8 goals in a half.
Yeah, that's very good.
Simon Beaumont.
It's very good.
Not known for his accurate kicking. Not known for kicking goals.
Not known for being a forward.
All. Not known for being a forward. 8 goals and a half.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind it. He's not going to make the team.
Colt status, second half. How many goals did he kick?
Well, if he's proper Colt, he'd have kicked 0.
Kick 0.
8
and a half, and then nothing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And you know, he had a bit of the hair, had a bit of the steel wool hair going on. And you know what? I'm a big fan of the old steel wool.
Who?
No, I'm just a big fan.
Oh,
of the old steel
fan.
to be rocking that. So once again, very athletic. But that left foot, you wouldn't, you know, usually trusty left foot.
I don't think I was. I wasn't at that game. I remember it though.
You missed out from nowhere.
8 goals. Who was playing? Was anyone playing on him?
Listeners. Cult status or not, as a result, Andy's not giving a whole lot of love.
I don't think he's... I love Simon Beaumont, but I don't think he's cult. I tell you who is cult. Ron DiUlio.
Ron DiUlio. I don't know where we go with this one.
Nah, he just was always there. Ronnie DiUlio.
You didn't want him picked at selection, but then you went and watched.
Yeah.
And he both entertained,
played over
disappointed.
100 games. Yeah.
You never knew what to get.
I just think the name is just cold.
Ronnie DiUlio.
Just great.
You know, I reckon just saying that might have sent some shivers up the listeners' spines.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I don't know what else. What a legend, though.
Hey, what about someone who we... I'm just thinking now off the top of my head. But someone who sometimes send the shivers. The guy who happened to miss... Was he kicking out?
Kicking four goal? No, he was kicking 4 goal.
Yeah, you know a bit more about
it. Out
him.
At Waverley Park. And look,
who are we talking about?
My memory's a little hazy. John Doherty. And once again, a defender.
Yeah.
He played stints in the forward line. But there's a reason why. He was definitely a backman.
He was, yeah.
When you kick the turf, if it's an open goal from 10 metres out,
yep,
and the ball doesn't make the distance or cross the goal line, You're asking to be cult status, aren't you?
Maybe it's a cult play. Does it make him a cult player?
Yeah. Some other attributes about him, though.
I think Ron DiUlio and Doherty probably don't make it against some of the other ones, but I like that we've thrown him out.
Yeah. And there's probably, you know what, for every Ron DiUlio, John Doherty that we've mentioned, there's probably 3 others, or, you know, 3 to 1 other players that...
Yeah, 100%. So anyone else? Because I think that's my list so far.
Yeah. All right. I'll throw you one then. If you're all done, it's like Christmas opening presents. I'll give you one of my presents.
Yep.
Sid Jackson.
Yep. Go on.
Cult status.
Yeah, I think.
What do you think? Once again, older player, a bit before our time, but
I think he's cult status.
Electric.
Yeah.
Electric from all, and we're going off other people's accounts more than our own on this one. But I think some of the older listeners will certainly agree with this one.
Yes, Sid Jackson. Yeah,
Indigenous
like
forward, one of the first. He played
Indigenous team of the century, I believe he is.
Yeah, 100 and something games, and just was an absolute spark. And I had the great pleasure of attending a football match, probably going back 5 or more years ago, and just a terrific fella, very softly spoken, very humble, but also very passionate. So
played in a couple of our premierships, I think, in the 70s, early 70s. 70, mate, he was there in the 1970s.
It does help. You know what? It does help push your cult status, doesn't it?
Anyone else?
All right. Well, you know, that centre-half forward, Jules, going to be very interesting.
No, Duke, we've got Dygan, we've got Sticks Kernahan.
You can't go past Lance Whitnell. You cannot go past Lance Whitnell on this list.
Nah.
Never at any stage of his career did he look like a footballer.
No.
But what an effective footballer. He was a
very smart footballer.
Almost the opposite Kuda, wasn't he?
Why is he cult?
Why is he cult? What colour hair did he have?
Yeah, he had red hair.
How's his conditioning?
He wasn't the fittest player. He wasn't.
But he stood out as a result of that, didn't he? He drew the eye?
Yeah. He drew the ire of a lot of opposition supporters. He was a great footballer. Is he cult?
Oh, I think he's up there. How many red-headed footballs have we had? The Blues.
Jimmy Plunkett.
And you know what? Speaking of red-headed footballers, we'll continue with Whitnell. Come on.
Sorry.
Are you kidding me?
It's your pick, so you talk about him, mate. Don't rely on me. You go.
He had to go off to a farm for conditioning throughout the season.
Does that make him cult? I'm throwing it out there.
It does. And involved with some big games. He was there for the 99.
All right, so 99, England. Like I said, that almost makes him an automatic.
I think he was the youngest player to hit 100 games.
Yeah, he was.
Father, son.
Yep.
As well. All the trimmings there.
Yeah, look, I like it. I just, you know, can we chuck him in a pocket? Because he's not going at centre forward.
No.
You know what?
He was a short centre-half forward, so he might have some flexibility.
Very smart footballer.
He's the opposite of Kuda in a way. Didn't have the athletic attributes, but he was just all football.
He did trim down quite a bit, though, didn't he?
After his holidays.
Yeah.
He did. But it's just like the racehorses. You know, you get your greys, and they never quite look as fit or as athletic as your chestnuts or so. So I think he makes it, and it reminds me of a... Ask the question about redhead footballers.
Yeah.
One of my favourite, if not my favourite, cult footballer.
Of course. Adrian Hickmott.
Cult.
Yeah,
head
he's
over
cult.
It. Missing teeth.
I like Adrian Hickmott. He's one of the toughest players that's played.
Definitely, he's going to make our toughest 22. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't, but...
He was a great player. Yeah, I like him as cult.
No,
I don't think he's...
Does he make the squad?
No, he doesn't make the squad.
Doesn't make the squad?
No, he is one of my favourite players of all time, but I don't know, is he cult? Yeah, I suppose he is, if he's a tough man. All right, so I think that's kind of what we've got. We've just named off, I don't know, probably 15 players. There's only 6 spots, so obviously no one can get there. We're not going to set it in stone yet, but...
No, I mean, I've got
some pretty strong opinions on who I think should be in there.
We've got to squeeze that
list,
and no doubt we're going to get a few names thrown up by the listeners that we haven't even considered who will be very
and
worthy.
And one is where we've probably missed the mark on, obviously, you and I have disagreed a bit on what's cult and what's not, but we'll get there.
So, jump on board our Facebook page. Send us through who you think we've missed, who you don't agree with, who should make the final 6.
Well, next podcast, we're going to be talking about the cult 22 centres and ruck
and
followers.
And we might get defenders in there too, depending on how much time we have.
But yeah, put through any suggestions and we'll break it down.
That's exactly right. Yeah, focus on this week, focus on next week, and we want to hear your thoughts.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
It's good to be back, isn't it?
It's always good to be back.
Might have been a little rusty, but it's our off-season, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. We have to have an off-season too.
We're training through the off-season. Credit to us.
That's it. Can't get it right all the time.
It's been fun, Andy.
Thank you, Chris. We'll see you next time.
We are the Blue Baggers. love this show and want to share the love? Then head to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Don't like this show?
Well, that would mean that you hate Carlton. And you don't hate Carlton, do you?